danger. It's dangerous.
Everybody come to the Breakfast Club. I call this the hot seat.
Y'all are wild. Can I live?
You are out of control. I can't even deal with you.
Y'all are so petty. Why are y'all so petty?
The world's most dangerous morning show. DJ Envy.
Captain of this bitch.
Angela Yee.
I stay in everybody's business, but in a good way.
Charlamagne the God.
The ruler of rubbing you the wrong way.
The Breakfast Club.
Wake up. Wake your ass.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
How are you?
All right, we haven't heard from you in a long time.
Is this Pretty?
Oh, wow. You still remember the voice, huh?
Yep, what's up, Pretty? You mad this morning?
No, I'm not mad this morning. I'm so blessed. I've been blessed for ever
Hello.
Since I was...
Where have you been, Pretty?
Oh, I just been busy, you know, like working and everything. And chilling out, with
Pretty.
Chilling out with my boyfriend.
You got a boyfriend now?
Yes, I do. About a year.
Oh, you go, girl.
Yeah, he's like a poker player.
That's why we haven't heard from you. He's a soccer player.
No, a poker player.
Poker player.
Okay. He got money?
Oh, yes.
So now, what you waiting for to get pregnant?
You know what? I have a beautiful ring.
Yay.
Oh, you're engaged. Okay.
That ain't a baby, though. A ring can be taken back. Baby
now, I
got to
ask you something.
Years strong.
Pretty.
Well, he's not getting it back.
Pretty, I'm a little offended that you got a boyfriend and just stopped calling us. You can't just not call your friends anymore just because you're in a relationship.
Excuse me?
I said, you can't just not call your friends anymore because you're in a relationship. You just stopped calling us.
Well, you know what? You asked me not to call there anymore because of one person there. It's not you or DJ Envy, Miss Angela.
I don't know who it could be.
So you know what? That's a terrible process of elimination. Just say my name. Say my name, Pretty.
You know what I'm saying? He downgraded me. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, what you want me to say, baby?
All right, he's not gonna do that anymore because you are blessed.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you, Pretty. We missed you.
Trying to round me up.
Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Danielle.
Hey, Danielle, how you feeling this morning?
I'm feeling blessed as hell.
All right, tell us why you blessed,
mama. Blessed as hell. I hear you, Danielle.
I am blessed because in December, I had a house fire, and my family and I, we lost everything.
Mm-hmm.
But now we are back in our house, and we finally have everything.
Oh,
all right.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
God
that's
is everything,
great.
Ain't
God
he?
Is good.
God
yes,
is everything.
Is.
Thank you, Mama. Hello, who's this?
This is Stephen from Miami.
Hey, bro, why are you mad this morning?
Well, I'm mad. Well, first of all, I'd like to say hi to the whole Breakfast Club. I've been a faithful listener for the last 3.5 years.
Appreciate
I'm
you,
mad because I called last week and when I won my $300 in the lottery, and I'm mad because you guys never let me finish talking before you hang up on me. DJ Envy's
that's
so quick
Envy
to hit
who
that
does that.
Button.
All right, go ahead. Finish what you were saying.
Well, that's it for I'm mad from last week, but I also wanted to... Charlamagne said I got to shoot my shot. Hey, Angelique, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. I just wanted to let you know, put it out there. If you're ever looking for a couple that you want to co-mingle with, me and my girl are down for that. I already popped the work.
All right. Don't let this guy finish.
Threesome. Okay.
But thank you. I appreciate
Keep
it.
Keep shooting your shot.
I'm not doing that.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you want to get something off your chest, maybe tell them why you're mad or tell them why you're blessed. Call us now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So you better have the same energy.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Krista.
Hey, Krista, tell them why you're blessed.
I am blessed for two reasons. One, in 2014, I was diagnosed with stage 4 ovarian cancer, and I am cancer-free. Praise God.
Drop a food bomb for her being cancer-free,
real.
Damn it.
Blessing.
Thank you. And then also, you know, God has been working in my life, and I just became an ordained minister. So I'm just blessed all the way around. And I want to tell you all how dope I think that you all are. In the morning, I have to listen to you. You start my day off, and you're mad intelligent and funny. And I just want to say thank you, and you all stay blessed.
How does God feel about you listening to The Breakfast Club?
I think he's fine with it. I think if he wasn't, he would speak to my heart about it. I don't think that you're doing anything wrong. I don't think that being a minister means that you can't listen to things that are uplifting and positive. positive, you're not, you know, spewing hate. You all speak the truth, and the truth is what's up. So
thank
I don't
you,
think
baby.
He has a problem with it at all. I think you're blessed, and I hope you all stay blessed for real. You bless me every morning. So
that's
I want to
real.
Say thank you.
Thank you, Mama.
You know what's so funny? I do have a lot of pastors who follow me on social media. Like, a lot of pastors be retweeting my book and saying mm-hmm. they're trying to incorporate this in sermons, and I'd be like, wow.
Hello, who's this?
Yeah, this is Tim Jones, Time is Money, calling from Hartford. I'm saying I'm mad, yeah, I'm blessed, man.
Go
I'm mad because my boys from Hartford, they don't get enough recognition. My boys Smooth Haynes, Kid Guap, Sexton, they the hardest out, man. I'm blessed because they all my brothers, man. We all from the same hood.
They the hardest out? How hard is their erection, sir?
Not at all, Charlamagne. You would like my boy Smooth Haynes. He got a mixtape out called The God Tape Part 2. You would definitely feel it. And I know DJ Envy, he would feel my boy Sexton. He got the album out, Platinum in the Streets right now. That's like, okay. You know, they're definitely the hardest dudes out there. That should look them up, man. But definitely
now, which one of these hard dudes would I feel?
Would you feel? You would probably feel probably Smooth Haynes. Because, like I said, he on a more smooth tip, but he definitely puts in our lane. So a record that y'all would like to check out was I'll Never Be the Same.
She likes deep.
That out, oh, Never Be the Same.
Is he
You'll
deep?
You'll never be the same after you feel your hard dudes.
No, not at all, Charlamagne. I'm telling you,
that's what
brother,
you just said.
You did say
two.
That.
God Tape Part 3. On God Tape Part 2, I'll never be the same. You watch that video, Charlamagne, you'll never be the same.
I like it. He's focused.
He is focused.
He's focused.
My guy.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, you could call us. Or if you feel blessed, hit us up. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Oh, I love when legends stop by.
Chris Rock.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Now, Mr. Rock,
should I be interviewing you? Because you're the hot one right now.
I'm doing okay.
No, you're doing real good.
God is good.
God is good.
Yeah.
Good. Publishing's good.
Yeah.
Words are good. Sentences, yeah. Paragraphs.
The book is out, New York Times bestseller.
But, you know, yeah,
who's
man.
Keeping track of stuff like
hey,
that?
Hey, we're all keeping track of stuff like that.
But Chris Rock like, is on the total Blackout Tour right now, which is a huge deal.
Oh, before we get to that now, Envy wasn't here last time.
Oh, yes, he was.
Envy was not here
he
last
left
time.
Town.
I'm actually shocked that he stuck around today.
He went to Africa when
Africa
you came last time.
Y'all had a slight rich people problem with each other.
Envy, our kids play basketball. They played against each other. Mm-hmm. Envy was the coach of his daughter's basketball team. So I commend him for that, right? Mm-hmm. So he had one of these Olajuwon Shaq kids that was, you know, like this kid had like 60 points. They're killing us.
Yeah.
They're killing us. And it's like 3 minutes left in the game. And normally, compassionate individuals take the good kid out.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
No, he keeps the good kid in.
For no reason.
For no
reason.
That is
reason. Very rude, and that's not nice to
Why
the other.
Why did you do that, Envy?
So we played him the day before, right? And the kids went up to Chris Rock and asked for an autograph.
No. This was the day of.
Yeah, you told us before it was the day of.
There was no day before.
You said it was after the game.
You said it was
the day before.
You
no.
sound like Donald Trump
after
right now.
After the game, no, I did not give anybody no autographs.
Alternative facts.
And I was like, all right, we're going to get them the next one.
No.
And then, we blew them out.
But that has nothing to do with the young ladies on the team. That's poor sportsmanship.
I know. It was
like. So you admit you were wrong.
You being beige.
I was wrong.
It was like literally, they beat us by like 40 points.
Yeah.
Now, ridiculous. Chris Rock, on your behalf, you could have gave the little girls an autograph.
You know what? They deserve to feel bad that day about something. Hey, it's a life lesson. The sins of the father are passed down to the sons and the daughter.
Did your daughter still play? I'm like, no. He says, mine either. They don't even play basketball.
All of that for no reason.
You came in here being petty for no damn reason.
Yeah.
It was a learning lesson. It was fun.
Oh, my God.
I haven't seen you getting pulled over in that neighborhood that much anymore.
Not lately. Yeah. I just stopped taking pictures, honestly. I get pulled off all the time. I ran out of film. They don't even have film anymore, but I ran out of film.
Are they hiring new cops? Why they don't know who you are yet?
I don't know, man. And it's not like I changed cars or anything. Yeah. They just like getting me. I mean, one cop pulled me over one time. He goes, do you live around here? And I'm like, do you live around here? Because I don't know no cop can afford this.
Yeah, I get pulled over there all the time, getting a haircut. Like, all the time. They find the weirdest reasons. No, if there's an air freshener hanging from your mirror, whatever it is, they pull you over.
But in all fairness, you say you call the cops on people all the time.
Well, I do if they go to sell coke. Charlamagne had an incident where there was a white guy in his neighborhood that asked him if he sold coke.
That was Sunday.
So I told Charlamagne.
Really? Where the hell you live?
In a nice neighborhood. This guy looked like Woody Allen. He had
really?
He had me from Pedico. I was like, what is that? I didn't even know what that was. I didn't know what it was.
I told him he should have called
the cops. Then he said cocaine.
It's a setup. They're trying to get you.
Yeah.
You wrote a good book. That's why. This is when they get you. You've been infiltrated.
There's been
one of these people right here is with the FBI. One of them.
I bet I know who it is.
TJ Envy's with the FBI. He's been infiltrated. They flipped him.
Yeah.
He's going to give them notes tonight about you. Is he working on another book?
Is it going to be black in the title this time, too?
Oh, my goodness.
Now, it's been 9 years since your last tour. A lot of material, like a crazy amount of material. Sometimes when things happen, do you say, this is unfortunate, but this would be great for my stand-up?
Yes, sometimes it happens. I mean, you know, you don't want the world to explode. I don't want Donald Trump to be president just to help out my act.
Yeah.
You know, but stuff happens. Lots of crazy stuff happened. I got divorced, you know. Lot of you know, nonsense.
How do you know when it's time to go back out? Like,
I needed some money, man. It's alimony.
We don't believe that.
You know what? You just want to... I don't know, when people talk to you like you ain't funny, that's when it's time to go back out. Somebody give you that look, and you're like, okay, let me get out here.
Is there anything off limit that you will not touch?
There's nothing off limits that I will not touch. Mm-hmm. There's no, I mean, if it's funny, let's do it. Let's do it, you know? Plus, I was just getting a lot of encouragement, Chappelle and Kev Hart, and everybody's like, come on, man, you know, so.
Now, why the name Total Blackout?
Kind of building on what y'all are doing here. You know, the Black Lives Matter movement, just, I don't know, just felt right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just felt right. Bigger and blacker, you know what I mean? Just
everything's black.
It's a black time.
Gotcha.
Now, you said his kids, he's a real dad. Like,
what do you mean he's a real dad?
No, because a lot of times people say they fathers and they don't take their kids to the games, they don't take their kids to practice.
Yeah,
they don't argue with the coach on the other team.
I see Chris Rock at every game with his daughters. Like, he's traveling around. He's an Uber driver on the weekends. But I would see him every game.
You're really stereotyping
right now. No, you don't see that too much. Not just, especially with people in the entertainment industry that work.
Yeah, people are really busy and not around.
People are busy. Absolutely. And, yeah. I always say, you know what? If I die, when I die at my funeral, if you're talking about my jokes, I have failed as a father. Mm. That's the way I look at it.
They should be talking about, like, your life? Or
they
just...
should talk about my life and what kind of person I... When I went to Bernie Mac's funeral, like, comedy was, like, a very small part. Mm. It was just talking, like, this guy's a husband, this guy's a father, this guy's a friend, you know, and, you know, I'm not planning on dying anytime soon, but...
Mm-hmm. By the way, I've talked to, like, 3 comedians in the past couple weeks, and all of them have said the exact same thing. If they're talking to me, like, if I die, I want you to know. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, why are y'all there? Why are so many comedians talking about death lately?
Please, we're all, you know, well, who you been talking to?
I talked to Donnell Rollins yesterday. Donnell called me to go, yo, I just want to tell you, man, if I die, man, you really
Yeah,
die.
Man.
Like, what?
But let's also go, Charlie Murphy just passed.
Charlie Murphy just passed.
I don't think too many people knew he was sick. I didn't know he was sick. I see him at the barbershop all the time. And
Charlie Murphy just passed with black men.
We all got Patrice O'Neal passed away.
Yeah, Patrice O'Neal.
Years ago.
We got all our fathers die in their 50s, early 60s. So you got to be thinking about it a little bit. Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, things change. Medicine's better. You know, greens don't kill you like they used to. The worst thing about a black funeral is, like, at the end of the funeral, they serve the food that killed the person. It's like you realize he's dead because of this.
All right, we got more with Chris Rock coming up. Don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Chris Rock in the building. Charlamagne?
You said anything goes in comedy. Now, what's the easiest group to offend in 2017?
Ah, man, you gotta be careful with your transgenders. You gotta, you better word that one right. You better take that one to spell check, my friend.
Dave Chappelle did a good job with that on his.
I thought he did a really good job. I thought he made. What am I trying to say? See, I'm already
trying to
get this right.
I love them.
I thought he humanized, not that anybody's not human, but I thought, here's the thing. You should be, just because he didn't like the person in the joke doesn't mean he didn't like the person because of their sexual preference.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Okay.
And a lot of times we, white people do this too. It's like, you deal with a minority and you put them on a pedestal. Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, that's almost racist too. It's mm-hmm. like, it's nice that you can put somebody just in a normal situation. Mm-hmm. And that's what Dave did in this special.
But I don't feel like Louis C.K. tiptoes around that kind of stuff. I feel like he goes right for it.
He does not care, no.
Yeah.
He doesn't care. He goes right at it, yeah.
So why do y'all care?
Why do we care? I don't know. It seems like we get in more trouble.
Is it still I'm still black thing?
It seems like we get in more trouble. That's right. What I think.
Yeah.
You don't want to get boycotted and lose opportunities.
I don't need that.
Right.
I'm trying to pay alimony. I'm trying to lose opportunities.
Your ex-wife is like, yes, we got a special coming today.
Yes.
We're
doing great.
Does that make comedy more fun or does it make it feel like more work?
Yeah, it is. It's fun. I'm not mad. I got no anger or nothing.
Yeah. Right.
You know, we all got bills. Mm-hmm. We all got something.
Like you said, in Bring the Pain, if you're making $50 million and she wants half, no big deal. You still got $25 million.
Yeah. I'm fine. You want to go to dinner? I will pick up the check. I'm not going to sit around. Check comes. I go to the bathroom. Hey, I got to go to the bathroom. Pray for Charlamagne. Hope his bonus came today.
You've always had that hip-hop element to your shows, too. So, like, do you even keep track of what's going on out here now? Like the little Yachty.
He was on Ross's album.
Oh, yeah, you and Ross.
I'm on Ross's album.
Ross is an OG, though. You can't count. Ross don't count.
Still, though. How did y'all hook up?
You know what really happened?
I insulted him at the BET.
You know, it was like one of those things. I was doing an award show, and mm-hmm. I thought I had one Rick Ross joke, and I didn't realize till watching it later that I had four. And then, like, Rick Ross, I think, is the first guy I ever, like, apologized to.
I
was like,
I felt like Ross took it too serious, though, man. Come on, man.
You know, plus, here's the weird thing. I love Ross.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I love Ross. So it was a couple of times I was like, I want to go to this show or that show. I was like, I better not go. I got beef with Ross.
I don't want any problems.
I mean, who knows?
Because Ross did a whole interview after the BET Awards. He was going in on Chris. I'm like,
plus, you know how beef works. It ain't even the guy. It's the eight guys around the guy.
It's gunplay. Gunplay.
It's the eight guys around the guy that want to impress the guy.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? So I don't need that.
As you said, I'm a real father.
I'm with my kids most of the time. So I text Ross. I was like, hey, man, whatever, man. You know what? I actually apologize. I'm going to say it. I'm man enough to apologize.
What? Joke.
And if you need anything, let me know, because everybody needs jokes.
Mm-hmm. And he said, yes, as a matter of fact, I do.
Yeah, and like, he was like, cool. And like, a couple months later, he hit me. And I went in the studio, and I was scared, because, like, remember in Goodfellas?
Could have been a setup.
When they told Joe Pesci he was a made man.
Yeah, and they shot him in the back of the head. Yeah.
So I was in the studio doing stuff. I was like, is it going down? But, we hung out a couple of times since then. It's called cool. Rick Ross is kind of phenomenal. But
you said he's the best rapper alive.
I mean, that day.
I just want to get out of here.
You know me, I don't roll posse deep, but I keep up with everything. The Migos album is much better than it has a right to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
explain.
I'm just from a New York cat that listens to rap.
Okay.
You think, when you first hear the Migos, you go, okay, Bad and Bougie's good. I'm sure the rest of this is blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
then
yeah.
You listen to the album, you're like, it's got bangers on it,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Three, four, five, like, it's for real. The Kendrick album is on some Aquemini, like, level.
Yeah.
No, listen.
I like Kendrick a lot, but I...
You busy right now, you're doing book tours, okay? When everything calms down, I want you to really listen to this record.
I listen to his album every day.
Get the liner notes and just, like, really, like, follow what he's saying. You go, like, okay.
I'm going to pay more attention.
I see what's going on here. Top five today, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you a Drake fan?
Yeah, I like rap. I like 0 to 100 Drake.
Okay, not the singing.
Me too.
0 to 100 Drake is hot.
Right.
Like, really, don't mess with him. Mm-hmm. Don't challenge him at all. you know, the other Drake, that round away girl, kind of LL Cool J knockoff Drake, you know. It's for my daughter. But
Chris gotta go, guys.
Oh, man. You feel like you gotta be back into the new music, though, because you're like single now, so you're out in the clubs a little bit?
I'm single. I've never seen
Chris Rock in a club.
I'm single. I just bought a bunch of red sneakers. give me all the red sneakers you got. just red.
My goodness. Total blackout.
So that's what the kids are wearing, red sneakers. Yeah, no matter what. Don't match nothing.
LiveNation.com. Get your tickets. And we appreciate you for joining us today.
I survived Charlemagne. Yes.
Come on, man. You're a legend, man. We pay respect to the legends.
You never know.
Yeah.
Baby's a legend.
Depends who you ask.
He is.
Baby's a legend.
But Baby didn't give me no time. Baby was too on the defensive. He didn't give me no time.
Not at all. All right. It's the Breakfast Club. It's Chris Rock. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now we got a special guest joining us. Her name is Tiffany Haddish. You might know her from where, Charlamagne?
Yes, she's from the Carmichael Show. She's got a show coming out with Tracy Morgan called The Last OG. She's going to be in the upcoming movie Girls Trip with Queen Latifah, Regina Hall, and Jada Pinkett Smith. She's just a very funny, blessed, and highly favored individual. I used to watch Tiffany when you used to be on VH1. What was that? I love the 90s.
Yeah, you was on it too.
I know.
Tiffany Haddish is here.
We did tape the same day. I remember that.
I asked you to get in a photo booth with me, and you said you was busy.
That's not true.
He was busy though. They was calling you in the room. You was busy. Yeah, remember they had the photo booth, you know? And yeah. I was thinking that would be so cool if I could take a picture with you, and then I could just brag on like, look, guess who I know, bitches? You know, they're all through the hood.
Well, the tables have turned.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you would take a picture now.
Tell her what she should know. How many times you on that list?
Oh, the New York Times bestseller? Tell her. This is a few weeks. About 7-8 weeks.
You're killing the game.
Thank you very much.
I just finished your book, too. Very good.
I appreciate
very
that.
Very good. Very, very
but
good.
But no, I always thought you was funny, but when I heard your story, you started raising all your siblings at a really young age.
Yeah. My mom had a really bad car accident. Her head went through a windshield, and I was 9. There's 5 of us total, and I'm the oldest. And so at 9 years old, you know, my mom had to learn how to walk, talk, eat, everything again. And so basically everything she had taught me up to that point, now I'm turning around, I'm teaching her. And so I was like a full-on mom, like right away. Mm-hmm. And I remember the day my mom came out the hospital, the doctor pulled me to the side. He said, look, she's never going to be the person that she was, and it's time for you to grow up now. You're going to have to help her as much as you can. Mm. Okay? And I was like, okay. But here's the thing. Like, when I think back about it, like, I feel like it made me super strong. I couldn't really read that good at that point. And then...
You was only 8.
No.
What you was supposed to be reading?
I'm supposed to be reading these. I got to read these food stamps and everything, and then fill out all this paperwork so we can eat.
But what happened in the accident? Did somebody hit her? Or
No, my stepdad had cut the brake lines. I found that out later on when I was like 21.
That, he was trying to kill your mom?
Cocaine is a horrible drug. And he had a few women pregnant. And he had policies on us, and he kept moving us. Like, we had these houses in L.A., and he moved my mom from there. We moved to Pomona. Then from Pomona, we moved to Colton, which is even further from L.A. And my mom at the time was a manager at the U.S. Post Office. She had her own business going. She had properties going. Like, she was, like, a very, you know, entrepreneur, strong woman. And she was only, like, 28, 29. And, so we was all supposed to be dead. And I remember when I turned 21, I got really depressed, and I was crying. I wanted to kill myself. I wanted to die because I felt like, why am I even here? I can't take care of these kids. I'm not good at, and I just want to be happy, but it's hard. You know, I'm frustrated. And he took me out for drinks. And he was like,
the stepdad.
Yeah. And he said, you're supposed to be here because you could have died a long time ago, but you didn't. And I don't, you know, and then he broke it down to me, and I was just like, what?
Oh, he basically told you he tried to kill your mama?
He tried to kill all of us.
Because you, for a while, you held on to that because you thought you were supposed to be in the car.
Yeah, we all were supposed to be in the car, and I had begged her.
I ain't got soft tissue, but it's so hard.
Thank you. But I had begged her to let me babysit because I'm like, I'm eight and a half, about to be nine. I know how to make hot dogs. I know how to make rice. I know how to change diapers. I know how to make babies, you know, formula, all of that. We going to bed in a couple of hours anyways. Why drive us all the way to L.A., drop us off at my grandma's house, then you go to work, then you pick us up at like 6, 7 in the morning, drive all the way back, then I got to go to school or whatever. Just let me babysit. But she didn't come home. Wow. You know, she let me babysit, but then, you know, 3 days go by, she don't come home. And she said, don't call nobody, you know, and don't answer the phone unless it ring twice and then hang up, because, you know, that's how your mama do when she leave and at home alone. She called two times, hang up, then call back. Yes. Then you're like, that's mama.
Nine, you didn't want to get mama in trouble, get mama locked up.
You
didn't know what happened?
No, and then on the third day, I was just like, man, I called my grandma, like, have you seen my mama? Have you talked to her? She was like, no. I'm wondering why y'all came by the house. And I told her that, you know, I'm babysitting, but we running low on rice.
Like, you're 8 years old.
8 years old.
Wow.
And it was like a damn.
Well, what you doing this weekend? Because you know how to raise kids. I got five. I need some help in my house.
Ooh, no. See, that now I don't really want to.
You don't want to be around
I really
children.
Don't want
That's
to.
The best birth control.
No, I was married to a man that had children, and I love his
you
kids.
Were
and I, yeah.
How long?
I'm a beautiful woman.
I didn't say, yeah.
Tell him again, Tim.
I'm a beautiful woman.
Your ex-husband is actually the man who helped you find your real father.
Yes, he found my real dad. That's how he got me.
I want to talk about your daddy now, your biological dad.
What had happened was he started selling green cards illegally, and that's what got him caught up, and that's why he, like, took off. And so last time I saw him, I was three, and my mom used to always tell me my middle name is Sarah or Sarah, and in that language, it means princess. And she used to be like, yeah, you're supposed to be some princess, but you look like your ugly ass daddy. And so for years I thought my dad was ugly, and I thought I was ugly too because I look like this man, right? But turns out I go on this cruise, I meet this dude on the cruise.
Don't tell me you f***ed your daddy now.
My ex-husband.
Okay. No, just
because you got it in with your auntie, don't mean I read the book. So
she's a good one over here.
Don't play. So I went on this cruise. This dude, he's like filming me and stuff and telling me that my smile just lit him up and made him so happy and everything. And he told me he was a police. And at that time, I had just found out about the stuff with my mom and all that and my stepdad. And so I had got in my mind that that's what I need to do. I need to sleep with more police. I need to date more police, and I can figure out how I can get this man locked up for doing what he did to my mama.
Right.
So I was going through this whole little point from the time I was like 19, 18. He said, I'll find your daddy for you, but it's going to cost you. And I was like, I'll pay you whatever you want.
He wanted to be
thinking
paid
I'm going
to
give him a little booty or something. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I was going to give him some of that, a couple of $100. And he was like, I want you to marry me. That's what I want.
Damn.
And so he found him in 3 weeks. And then, like, I'm a woman of my word. If I say I'm going to do something,
You married a man because he know how to do search Google?
No, he did more than search Google because my daddy was hard to find. But he talked to me every day on the phone for those 3 weeks. He got up in my mind.
Yeah.
Right? And I really enjoyed his conversation. We laughed a lot and stuff. And I was like, oh, I just need to see what he looked like, and then it'll be cool. And he linked me up with my dad, and I knew it was my dad because the things he talked about only my father would know.
Mm-hmm. Did you really want to connect with him? You didn't have no reservations or feel anger because he left y'all?
Well, you know, when I was a teenager, I felt anger, and I thought to myself, oh, if I see my dad, I'm going to kick him in the ding-ding, first thing I'm going to do. But then as I got older, I realized, well, dang, you know, him not being there allowed me to experience so many things. Mm-hmm. It's probably a good thing he wasn't around. He might not have been a good dad.
Mm.
And I thanked him for that. That was one of the first things. I gave him a hug and I said, thank you for not being there, because I might not be the person that I am today if he was there.
Do y'all have a relationship now?
He died 3 weeks ago.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah.
He
died 3 weeks ago, and I turned up last night in a little Ethiopian restaurant for him, drank like 3 glasses of honey wine. I didn't pour none out. because he didn't drink, but I did.
All right, we got more with Tiffany Haddish when we come back. We got to talk about why she hates bunk beds. All right, we'll get into that when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now from the Carl Michaels Show and Girls Trip, Tiffany Haddish is in the building. Charlamagne?
Now, how'd you end up in foster care?
That's
an interesting story, too.
Yeah, so basically, I was taking care of these kids, you know, and I wasn't the best mom, okay? And I'm taking care of my mom,
You're
too.
You're only nine.
Okay, but at this point, I'm 12. 12 I should be better at it, right? But my mom had another baby, right? With my stepdad, she was off the chain with it because she's lost all her friends. So now I'm her friend. So she's telling me about her sexcapades with my stepdad. Meaning we met in a Volkswagen and we did it in a Volkswagen, girl. And I'm like, did what? She's like, the sperm disease. That's what she called it. Yeah. She told me I couldn't do it till I turned 21. Then I could have babies and I have to get, that's when you get the vaccination. And then because men have this stuff that shoots out of their weenie that can cause your legs to fall off and your baby carriage to fall out and then you'll die in 3 days. And
wow.
Yeah, she said
I'm going to tell that story to my kids.
And she said that men have enzymes in their mouth that'll eat your face up and eat your throat. So don't just kiss guys. Don't never put your tongue in a man's mouth because the enzymes in their mouth will eat you up if you don't have your vaccination. Awful. And it was so funny when she told me that because then I went to school and I seen one of my homegirls, my friend Amber, she was kissing the dude. I was like, oh no, Amber, you're going to die. You're going to die. Oh my God. And I went home to my mom. My mom said, don't worry about her. Her parents knew she was going to be a hoe. They got the shot for her early. And so anytime I would see a girl kissing or something, I'd be like, yeah, he did this to me. He did that. I'd be like, oh, yeah, you got the shot early. And then
your mom is like a comedian.
My mom is a mess. She used to play, like, you know, Bill Cosby albums and Richard Pryor and Lenny Bruce and all this stuff. And she's supposed to be a Jehovah's Witness, but we listening to cussing and all that because I think she's just a Jehovah's Witness for the babysitting. Anyways.
He was watching the kids, 12 years old.
Yeah, so I'm watching the kids, 12 years old. My brother I went to school before all the other kids and I would lay out their clothes. And my baby brother, he would go to school, wear whatever he wanted to wear and he would pee in the bed and stuff. And he would get to school and the teacher would be like, he'd tell the teacher, I'm hungry, I'm this, I'm that. And so then, you know, they called the social workers. Mm-hmm. And they came over. I mean, we had roaches. I mean, I wasn't the best housekeeper. It was a lot of things that I wasn't doing right. And then the social workers started talking to my mom, realized she got some mental issues. I mean, she was talking about, my mom used to talk about aliens in the house and that she could hear them. And they come in, they gonna try to rape all the kids and stuff. And she would, like, not let us go outside. And we were only allowed to go to school and come right back. And if I came back, like, 5 minutes late, I was getting beat for that because you must have been out there letting aliens rape you. And it was It was crazy talk. I remember she was pregnant with my baby brother. She punched me dead in the face, busting my lip and stuff, and like pushed the whole dining room table into my abdomen. And I just thought, oh, now I'm never gonna have no kids, but this is cool. And then the social worker came through, evaluated the house, and she came over like every other weekend. And then one day my mom got into a fight with the front neighbors, and she had hit the dude with the 2x4 and it accidentally hit his baby, and she got arrested.
What?
Yeah, but they didn't even take her to jail. They just took her to the mental institution, and when I came home from school, it was police cars out there, and the social worker was putting all the clothes in trash bags, and she's like, you got to get your clothes and put it in trash bags. Let's go. You moving. And I was like, what? And my stepdad was there, and he could have took at least my brothers and sisters. I'm the only one from my father, but he could have took the rest of the kids, and they didn't have to be in the system like that. And he's like, take them all. Wow. I'll just follow you and see where you drop them off at. And I'm like, why? Like, just let me go. Take them. Like, don't let them have to live this life.
How many foster families were you with?
I was with three.
Okay.
Three different families. And then I went first to McLaren Hall, which is it's like a jail, but it's messed up. McLaren Hall is not somewhere you want to be, but I was only there for like a night and a half. So
that's kind of where your comedy career was born.
Yeah, that's where it was born at, because we had to share this room, and that's why I don't do bunk beds now. I think bunk beds is dangerous. I don't never want to be in a bunk bed.
Plus, you're grown as hell.
Yeah, I'm grown as hell, no but fuck a bunk bed. So I hate bunk beds. Like, you want to see me? No, you want to see me have an attitude and ready to squab? Put a bunk bed in the room. Watch what happens.
Nobody's gonna put you in a bunk bed,
girl.
Now.
I don't do bunk beds.
You've had a guy try to have sex with you in a bunk bed?
What? And as soon as I see a dude got a bunk bed, I'm like, bye.
Who are you dating with?
Dudes have bunk beds. Dudes have bunk beds. They have air mattresses and bunk beds.
Nah, that's true. She lives in LA, so it's like all the people trying to make it on the come up.
Yeah, they have like five roommates and stuff. And I'm like, Anyways, in McLaren Hall, they had these bunk beds. It'd be like four in a room, right? Four beds in a room. And there's like these hella, like, these is gangster chicks with mental problems and all kind of stuff, and they can't house them. And so here I am, like 12, almost 13, up in here with these chicks. And they was like, yeah, we're going to whoop you. Going to cry tonight, bitch. We're going to whoop your fucking ass tonight. Like, and all I could think is this bunk bed, like, there's no out. There's no way out. You trapped up against this wall. So I just start acting real stupid and like clowning and was like, yeah, you want to beat me up? Oh, come on with it. And I did, like, you cross your arm over like this, like I seen on Saved by the Bell. And I was like, you ain't going to touch my fucking face, though. And I was being real stupid. And all I could think of is Who Framed Roger Rabbit? This movie, like, inspired all my comedy, because there's a scene in Who Framed Roger Rabbit where the detective says, why are all these people doing these nice things for you? And he says, because I make them laugh, Eddie. If you make people laugh, they'll do anything for you. And I'm like, yeah, that's the ticket. This is how I'm going to get people to do my homework. This is how I'm going to get people to help me. This is how I'm going to keep from getting beat up. So I just start clowning, just start cracking jokes and being, like, mostly cracking on myself. And these girls was, like, laughing. They was like, yeah, she got problems. They ended up not beating me up, but I was so scared, like, I was scared. I just knew I was going to get beat up. But they didn't. They didn't beat me up.
So comedy was a defense mechanism.
It was a defense mechanism. And I had it saved my life.
You know the best part about that story?
What?
Roger Rabbit is responsible for your comedy.
Yes, and you know what's crazy? I ended up in a Laugh Factory comedy camp, and one of our first mentors was Charles Fleischer, the dude that did the voice of Roger Rabbit.
Wow.
Do you know, I hugged that man so hard and was like, thank you so much for doing Roger Rabbit, because you changed my whole life. You kept me safe. I have friends because of you now. Because I didn't have friends when I was younger. And because I saw that movie, it just changed everything. And he was like, breathe, like doing the sound. I'm like, yeah, I love him. He's my friend to this day.
All right, we got more with Tiffany Haddish. When we come back, we have to talk about her pooping in her boyfriend's Jordans. Yeah, strange, but we'll talk about it. The Breakfast Club, good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Tiffany Haddish is in the building. Charlamagne?
Why you doo-dooing your ex-shoes, though?
Because he cheated on me.
Jordan.
They was Jordans.
I knew it.
It was brand new Jordans.
I knew it was Jordans.
And you took a
I ate a gang of corn, so he knew it was human shit.
Do you have a man?
Hold on, so
you
have a man now. Did you do it directly in the shoe?
In the shoe. This is what I did. Right? I put the shoe back in the box and was like, he left him at my house. I took him back to his house. I was like, babe, we should go play basketball. Let's go play basketball. You should put your new J's on so you could be the shit on the court. You know what I'm saying? Kill these on the court.
Tim, you can't tell every man this story. They're gonna run from you.
I don't care. Don't do me wrong. You won't get shit on. See, and I would have did real. Like, and I would have did what normal girls do, like put sugar in the gas tank, bust windows out the car, slash tires or whatever. Because he slept with another chick on my birthday. On videotape.
What? Like,
and then I had picked up the video camera. He scratched my face. I still got a scratch mark on my cheek from that day. I was dumpster diving, trying to find that tape. I was in a dumpster for 2 hours in the rain. I found it. I watched it. And I was like, this revenge is real. And now I know. Now I'm a better person. Now I know, let God handle it.
There you go.
And when God handle it, he do it so much better.
You jumped in the dumpster for 2 hours.
How did you know that the tape existed?
Because he snatched it from me, and I was like, what's on the damn tape that you snatching the camera from me, scratching my face? He's like, none of your business.
He should have broke the tape.
Yeah, he should have broke the tape.
Yeah, he's dumb, though. Yeah, he is dumb.
Did he ever put the Jordans on, though?
Yes. So what had happened was, I told him to put the Jordans on so we could go play basketball. He put his foot in the shoe. He's like, what the hell is in my shoe? And he pulled his foot out. He's like, oh, it's somebody in my shoe. It's corn and And I was standing in the door. I was like, yeah, all the shit you put me through, now you walking in and and I ran out the house because I knew he wasn't.
He was gonna catch you, yeah.
He wasn't going to chase me through his. He lived with his mama. He lived in his mama house. You're not going to chase him through your mama house with shit on your feet. And I was out of there.
Life has gotten much better for Tiffany.
Yeah.
I can sit here and listen to these stories all day.
I got a lot of them.
You got The Carmichael Show.
Yes.
Which I love.
Thank
Season
you.
Season 3 of that on
yes,
NBC.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And I love working on it.
And Girls Trip comes out next week.
No, it comes out the 21st of July.
Oh, July.
But I saw you in Kiana, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't initially think I would like that movie until I saw it. Because I was like, what is the premise of this? I'm confused about it. But then I saw it, and it's actually really funny.
Yeah, it's just men chasing.
Yeah.
It's just me and Chase.
But Girls Trip, I saw also because I had the privilege of getting to go to like an early screening.
Yeah, tell
of
us
it.
About this a little bit.
And I mean, not to give anything away, but Tiffany is like the funniest person.
I mean, from the trailer, you look like the star of the movie.
In this movie.
Which is saying a lot because Queen Latifah and Jada Pinkett Smith.
I think all equally kind
we,
of.
We all equally have our positions in the movie. And I don't think I'm the star at all. I think I just push the funny along. I help push the story. Mm-hmm. And it's basically four friends who haven't seen each other in a while, 5 years, and they get together because one of them gets a hookup at the Essence. Yeah, Regina Hall gets hooked up at the Essence Fest, and she brings all of us with her, and we fly in first class and doing it big. And my character is just like the crazy, it's like a black female Zach Galifianakis, but turned up to full ratchetness levels.
Right.
And it's fun. It was so much fun making the movie. When I saw the movie, it's not that I forgot what I did in the movie, but it was just like, wow, they used 75% of my tags of like stuff I made up, my ad libs. They used 75% of that. And so that made me feel really good. And then I was like, dang, do I get a writer's credit? But I don't.
But you know what? I thought it was very empowering for women too, because there's a lot of things in that movie that some people might have shied away from, but you guys are, you know, having sex, like sexual, and it's not like, oh my God, we're, you know, it was just really like
a real girl. Strip.
Yeah, like
and you always got that one friend that's trying to teach you how to hook it up,
right,
you know, teach you how to, yeah, the grapefruit. You got to see the grapefruit scene. That's off the chain.
God, damn, you do got a big tongue, too.
I know, we just seen it. And then there is a scene where a guy in the movie has a humongous penis.
Yes, Shaka Zulu style thing.
Has that ever happened to you in real life?
What grapefruit?
Like I have a penis too big that you.
Yes, girl, I ended up in the hospital. He tilted my uterus.
What?
Knocked my uterus out of alignment.
Don't look like
what
a
country
hater,
was you in?
Don't look like a hater.
I was in South Central Los Angeles.
And
he was a baggage black guy baggage handler, and he was. he told me, he was like, you know, I got a lot of. You ain't gonna be able to handle this. And I was like, boy, please. I don't have enough. It's nothing. Boy, please. Like, just make sure. Like, make sure you got that lube in them condoms because you about to get the out of you. And he pulled his out. I was like, God damn. And he came with it. And I was like, and I was taking it and I was throwing it back. And it was killing me. Oh, it was killing me.
But I had a point to prove.
Yeah. And whatever I say, I do. Like, and so I did all that. And he was like, right after, he's like, I love you. We should get married. Like, he wanted to marry me and stuff.
And then he was like, nah, you're a baggage handler.
He was like, you want to move into my place, trying to take me to his house. He took me to Target, bought me all kind of shit at Target and stuff.
Now.
It was horrible. So it was like putting a flashlight in sitting down on it super hard.
So
over
big is all good for you.
Nah, they tilt your uterus
you
and all
go.
That stuff.
Did you go to the ER?
Yes, I went to the ER. They did an ultrasound. And I said, look, straight up, this dude told me his thing was big. I didn't believe him. I had talked a lot of mess. I threw that ass back, and something's wrong. I was throwing up. I kept throwing up. It was like, because he pushed my stuff up and linked it. And
there you go.
He did what they call.
Well, we're going to use that. Make sure we have that
guy. No, I mean, them like.
You want to.
We are using that. Now, don't get it twisted.
I still will ride a big one, but now I know how to use a way to do it. It's a technique, and you gotta have some control and some power. You can't just go like rough guy on it. Because I was like, yeah.
Tiffany Haddish is crazy.
Tell them where to find you on Instagram and Twitter and all that good stuff.
Everything is Tiffany Haddish. Tiffany like the diamonds, had and dish, keep the two D's is how you spell it. And that's on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Tiffany Haddish.
Send them mad pics, y'all.
No.
Send them mad pics.
If you send them huge, don't do that. I hate pics.
What if they look nice and lotioned up and nice veins?
I only want pics that I request. Now, first send me your credit score. Send me your credit score first. Let me get to see your Credit Karma copy. You know what I'm saying? And then we can talk about that pic.
My goodness. It's Tiffany Haddish. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
I was born a donkey.
It's the donkey of the day.
Donkey.
fun.
Charlamagne the devil?
Possibly. The Breakfast Club.
Not a big ticket. Kevin Garnett was on his show, Area 21. I believe this show is on NBA.com. And Kevin Garnett was on there with legendary wide receiver Larry Fitzgerald. Now, Kevin Garnett is the host of this show, and I have never seen the show until now. But one of the segments on the show, they spin a wheel, and the guest has to answer the question the wheel lands on. Well, on the segment that is making its rounds online, the wheel landed on Kinda Like. And the Kinda Like segment is when you compare two things that are kinda like each other. In this case, it was name an NFL equivalent for each NBA player. I repeat, name an NFL equivalent for each NBA player. Well, since Kevin Garnett is the host of this show, when the wheel landed on this, of course, the host has to repeat it to the guests and for the audience. So Kevin Garnett had one job, and his only job was to say, name an NFL equivalent for each NBA player. Keyword, equivalent. Well, Kevin Garnett said this.
See, I never know where it's going to go. Okay, here we go. Kind of like naming NFL equivalent for each NBA player.
What'd he say?
Now, I know it sounds like Kevin Garnett is having a stroke mid-sentence, but he's not. He attempted the word equivalent. Let's hear it again, please.
See, I never know where it's going to go. Okay, here we go. Kind of like naming NFL equivalent for each NBA player.
You knew what he meant.
I have no idea what happened.
I would not have known.
Actually, I did not know what he meant. Okay, just play what the word that he's trying to say by itself.
Oh, I know what he meant.
It's supposed to be equivalent. Play it again. Play one more time. Now play the whole thing. Play the whole thing one time. Play the whole thing.
See, I never know where it's going to go. Okay, here we go. Kind of like naming NFL equivalent for each NBA player.
Now, to be fair, like me, Kevin Garnett went through the South Carolina public school system. Okay, pronouncing words isn't necessarily all of our strong point. But the difference between me and KG is, if I don't know how to pronounce a word, I don't pretend to. Okay, I have no problem asking for assistance, asking someone to pronounce it for me. Or if I get to the word, I have no, you know, I don't care if it's live TV. I will say, what is that word? And let one of the producers or the co-host tell me what the hell is going on, okay? In my first book, Black Privilege, Opportunity Comes to Those Who Create It, one of my principles is give everyone the credit they deserve for being stupid, including yourself. That chapter is all about how you should never stop learning. And how the know-it-all knows nothing. And you're not dumb for what you don't know. It's what you're not willing to learn that's the problem. See, in life, the dumbest question is the one not asked. All you had to do, Kevin, was ask how to pronounce that word equivalent. Play it again.
See, I never know where it's going to go. Okay, here we go. Kind of like naming NFL equivalent for each NBA player.
Nobody was going to judge you, my brother.
Or change the word to say that's equal to.
Listen, Kevin Garnett made over $328 million in just the NBA alone. We understand if you didn't learn how to pronounce words along the way. It's okay. Now, for the kids out there listening, you know, let Uncle Charlotte show you the proper way of how to handle a situation like this, okay? This is some never heard behind the scenes audio of The Breakfast Club. And this is DJ Envy trying to pronounce the word solidarity. Let's hear it.
A day of solidarity. Solidarity. Say the word. Say it again. Solidarity. That sounds so crazy. A day of solidarity. Solidarity.
Solidarity.
Solid, so it's like 2D.
Solidarity.
A day of solidarity. Positivity.
Stop saying darity. Darity.
A day of solidarity.
There you go. That's right.
A day of unity.
A day of unity.
There you go. That's now, it. Change the word.
By the way, drop on the clues bombs for DJ Envy because Envy asked how to pronounce it. He attempted to say it numerous times.
Who taped that?
And when he realized his mouth and his brain weren't on the same page, he just used another word.
I'm going to human resources.
My guy, Kevin Garnett, should have done the same exact thing. And since he didn't, my South Carolina brethren, Kevin Garnett, has to get the smooth sounds of the Hamiltones this morning.
You are the donkey of the day. You are the donkey of the day. Hee-haw.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you're riding around with your kids in your car, you might want to turn it down just a little bit.
We're talking big penises this morning now.
Hold on, you ain't do the Freaky Friday.
Oh, you're right. It's Friday, so you know what that means.
It's Freaky Friday.
Yes. And the Freaky Friday question is about penises. We want to know, have you had a big penis that just messed you all up, in your inside now?
This came from the homie Tiffany Haddish. Mm-hmm. Tiffany Haddish from the Carmichael Show. Then she had this story to tell.
He was like, you know, I got a lot of you ain't gonna be able to handle this. And I was like, boy, please, I don't have enough dicks. It's nothing. And he pulled his out. I was like, God damn. And he came with it. And I was like, and I was taking it and I was throwing it back. And it was killing me. Oh, it was killing me. It was like putting a flashlight in your and sitting down on it super hard.
So
over
big
and over.
All good for you.
Knock my uterus out of alignment.
So 800-585-1051. We're talking about big penises. Now, Yee, have you ever had a big penis?
Yes, I have.
How has it affected you?
I mean, it was a while ago. And I will say this. It just means that you have to have a lot of extra lubrication, like as far as they have to do a lot more work. It has to be a lot of foreplay. They have to get you ready. He's probably got to use his mouth a little bit, too. But sometimes it's just too much. It's too painful. You don't want to go through all that.
That's right. You need a nice average size penis like mine. 7 inches, 3/4, 8 when it's warm out. My penis is like the baby bear's porridge. It's just right. If you have read my book, Black Privilege, Opportunity Comes to Those Who Create It, I tell a story about how when my wife, my now wife, was in college, she cheated on me with a man who had an extraordinary penis. And I don't even know how big the penis was. I just know when I asked how big it was, she said, I ain't never seen no like that in my life. So,
and that affected you and that hurt
absolutely.
You?
Absolutely.
You never got over it.
I started ordering Magna RX pills out the back of the XXL magazine. Mm-hmm. Those are penis enlargement pills.
It didn't work.
And I was doing this exercise that they told you to do, where you grab the tip of your penis when it's soft and you stretch it out, you know? So I don't know if it worked or not, to be honest with you. But
well, what about you, Envy? Have you ever had a penis that was too big for you to handle?
No.
Okay. All right, that's good. Well, you must be huge.
Shut up.
Tell us how you got that phantom.
Shut up. I don't have a phantom, you ass. Kenda.
Yes.
Good morning. Now, you had a huge penis before?
Okay, listen. My ex was Jamaican and white. And I don't know how this happened.
So we were together for a long time.
Shut up. Go ahead.
You know, it's funny. His first name was Sean.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so this ended up happening. So we were dating for a long time. We never had sex. I was like, you know what? Let's finally break the barrier. He knew some of my sister's friends. All my sister's friends were like, he's a whore. His penis is huge. You're a girl. You're a little girl. You can't take it. Get away from him. Go away. Run. And I was like, no. And I should have because I ended up in the hospital.
You went to the
hospital?
You ended
up in the hospital? What was wrong?
Yeah, because it was so big that it like I felt like it tore something inside of me.
Well, you wanted to break the barrier. You got your barrier.
Yeah, he broke the barrier, all right. Sorry for you.
Yes,
Kenda.
He broke the barrier. Damn. I wanted to die. Never again. Never again. Charlamagne, you're fine with your 7.5. It's perfectly fine.
Woo!
You don't mind.
Thank you. That's right. Talk down on these big penis brothers.
That was it. So you were done with him after that.
Yeah, she was done with him. Tally.
Yes. Hey. Hello.
Hey, Tally. You got a big penis. You had a penis so big you had discharge.
Yes, they do. Ripped it open.
Ow.
So you really going to blame your vaginal discharge on somebody's penis?
No, I mean, like, it was so big. And, like, I'm really small. Like, I'm a small girl. And he had, like, it was so, I've never seen something so big.
Shut up. You sound like my wife.
What?
When she was messing with another guy.
I was, like, so scared. I'm like, I think you're going to break me. And he's like, no, you'll be fine. You're fine. You'll take it. I'm just like, no, and then, like, a few minutes into it, I was, like, in so much pain. I was like, get the hell off of me, and I was, like, bleeding. I'm like, you definitely, like, ripped the out of my vagina.
So basically what you're saying is big penises are a problem.
No, it's
no,
it's like,
just say yes.
Okay, yes, they sometimes are.
You are hated this morning, man.
Shut up.
All right, 800-585-1051. We're talking big penises this morning. Has a big penis messed you up? Call us up right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, we're talking big penises this morning. Tiffany Haddish was on the show. She talked about a bad experience she had with a big penis. Check it out.
He was like, you know, I got a lot of you ain't going to be able to handle this. And I was like, boy, please. I don't have enough It's nothing. And he pulled his out. I was like, God damn. And he came with it. And I was like, and I was taking it and I was throwing it back. And it was killing me. Oh, it was killing me. It was like putting a flashlight in your
is sitting down on it super hard.
So
over
big
and over.
All good for you.
Knock my uterus out of alignment.
So we're asking 800-585-1051. What's the biggest penis you had, and how has it affected you?
Y'all be out here talking about these guys be having penises like police cop flashlights and all kind of stupid stuff. I got a 7-inch, 3/4 penis, 8 inches when it warm. What's the average penis size in America?
About 8.5.
Yeah, so you're a little below.
You're a little below average.
That ain't average. Ain't no way in hell 8.5 average.
Hello, who's this?
This is Jess.
Hey, Jess. Now, you had a big penis before?
That's my current situation.
What happened? What's going on? What are you doing to prepare?
So I'm kind of seeing this guy, and we've been going at it, but he be killing my uterus.
Oh, my goodness.
So I figured out a way where it can work for us.
How do you make it work?
He got to eat the box first, get it all lubricated, or I just got to go with a plain okay wife.
How old are you?
I'm in my 40s.
You sound like you're 40
plus. I've seen some penises before.
No, she said she in her 40s.
Oh, you're in your 40s. Oh, okay.
He says he has some penises before.
Got you.
I sure have.
So do you like your current situation or you don't like your current situation?
I actually love it. So it's the repositioning and the lube.
Okay.
Repositioning in the lube is how you handle a big penis.
There you go. That's what I'm saying. You
got
to be
like...
Can
we little snippet right there? Can you say that again, Charlamagne?
No. I can't, actually.
Candace!
We don't need you to.
Candace!
Hey, how are you guys?
Now, Candace, you had a penis so big the doctor thought you were raped?
Yes. So I went to the doctor the next day because some things were not right down there. And she asked me, she said, were you raped? And I said, no, absolutely not. It was consensual. But it was so rough that it had caused fissures. And wow. I ended up getting a yeast infection from it because it was so rough. And she said something about the bacteria, the air, the in and out, that it was bad.
Now,
yeah,
I'm going to be
honest
with you.
People get urinary tract infections. She got a yeast infection. Anything can happen.
I'm so tired of you girls blaming y'all vaginal discharge on big penises. All right, it's some of y'all diet that's causing this vaginal discharge. But I will say that was the best story, the best call we've gotten all day. Because from now on, if I hear anything about a man with a big penis, I'm gonna tell him he got a rape.
Oh, stop
Yo,
it! Stop it!
I don't want no old rapey penis. What I want an old big rapey penis for?
Sebastian, so we're talking big penises. So you had a big penis before?
Yeah, most definitely.
Did you have rectal prolapse afterwards?
No, sir, I'm a professional. No. We don't play those games.
Talk to me about how you rolled that D from the back.
Well, for the most part, you have to know your body, what it comes down to. And so I know for it to, quote-unquote, enter inside. So for me, it's either doggy style or on my back. If I'm on my back, it goes straight in without a problem. You got to know how to breathe. You got to know how to relax. If you tight, and then, too, I'm also like, I'm 6'5". I'm 6'5", 265 pounds.
And I bet you the dude you had sex with was short.
He climbed the tree. He did. He climbed the tree.
Okay.
Wow. Good for you.
So you 6'5". How tall was he approximately?
About 5'9", 5'10".
And how big was his penis, you think?
13.5, I measured.
13.5?
Goodness yes, gracious.
Did you poo-poo better afterwards?
Actually, no. What happens is you get clogged up. Especially if, you know, he was like a little, I don't want to say a jackrabbit, but he was doing his thing. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, he's doing
and
it
so
all
after
fast.
A while, you get... Yeah.
So he's pushing the poo-poo up. He's pushing the poo-poo up.
Yeah, I was clogged for a minute. And so that was, you get clogged for like a day or two, and then after that, everything kind of drops back down in place, and then after that, you're kind of good to go.
Is it worth it?
Did you film it?
It was. Oh, it was. I mean, I'm not a size, you know, in my community, they call them size queens. I'm not a size queen. I wasn't even really checking for dude. It's just that when we kind of met, and then it kind of rolled out. You know, we was going to get it, you know, but when... We got back to the crib. It kind of just like rolled out like a tire.
That's interesting because I would always think that if you was a gay man and you was a bottom, you would want somebody with a small penis.
Not necessarily. Because I've had other big penises and it was like watching paint dry. It was like, yeah, you got it, but you ain't got no rhythm, you ain't got no stroke, you ain't got no charisma, you have nothing. But I had a 7, a 6.5. I had one like you, Charlamagne. But old dude is like he knew I like with his pencil. You get what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, one like Charlamagne. Okay.
I'm 7 inches, 3/4, 8 when it's warm up.
Hey, that's the business. You know, nobody can. You know, they won't throw up on that. You know what I'm saying? They can take it.
Throw up on it.
All right, my G. Well, you have a blessed weekend, sir.
All right, man.
Yes, sir.
Well, you enjoy it.
He sound like it's going down.
That's right.
Let's get it.
Down the entire weekend. You feel me, son?
Well, wear some protection. Make sure you got protection, bro.
Always. I'm a professional, remember?
There you go.
And what's your name, bro?
Well, he won't leave.
Yeah, he's like, mind your business. You don't worry about what my name is.
Well, what's the moral of the story?
The moral of the story is there is no moral to the story.
Good things come in small packages.
There you go.
Okay, whatever. You know,
I'm just kidding.
All I'm hearing is that size is overrated this morning. So
look at you, so excited.
As a man with an average size penis, I'm happy to hear. Nobody.